Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the last portion of the pericope this morning, the lesson from Mark chapter 12. And specifically, we will be hearing of a poor widow who gave her very last penny. For what we hear today, dear friends, is of a poor widow's sacrifice. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, what we hear this morning in our gospel lesson, especially the story of this poor widow, is not an example of another sugary human interest story of a poor widow who does something utterly amazing. Oh no! What you hear today is a true event that shines forth the words of Psalm 51. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This morning, our Lord gives us a glimpse of a sacrifice from a broken, contrite, and faithful heart that foreshadows the most perfect sacrifice made for all mankind, made for each and every one of you. O Zion, today you hear concerning a poor widow's sacrifice. You see, there on the temple, in the court of the women, there were 13 of them, 13 chests with a trumpet-shaped receptacle. And these offering chests were placed in very strategic points within the court of the woman, within the court of the women, there on the Temple Mount. The offerings of the Jewish people were very, very important. By the way, God had commanded that they give a money sacrifice also. Not only pigeons, not only sheep and goats and heifers, but money sacrifices also. Therefore, the people were highly encouraged to give an offering of money in substitute of an animal sacrifice. The offering of this widow was not uncommon. And it was probably not the first time that a poor widow had come up to one of the offering boxes and dropped in all that she had. This widow, though, without doubt, heard the promise of her Lord from the Scripture, from the Old Testament, and she, being a devout Jewish woman, believed the promise of her Lord in faith. She believed, as Scripture told her, from Genesis 3:15, that there will be one who will come and crush the head of the serpent, but his heel would be bruised. And the coming Messiah would take away all the sins of Israel. He would be their deliverer from sin, death, and hell. But before this widow gingerly, eagerly, quietly walks through the crowd there in the court of the women, Jesus sits down and he's watching something else. Jesus is watching a spectacle of all the rich people coming up to the treasury boxes and throwing in, that's actually the Greek word that's used, throwing in all their money out of their abundance. They were giving vast amounts of money, thinking that this good work would save them. After all, they had so much to give, so they would be giving much. Well, we would expect that. That's what the world would think. If you have a lot, you should give a lot. But in the church, it doesn't work that way. And to God, it doesn't work that way. As Jesus watched these rich people, his thoughts were different than their thoughts. Jesus' ways are different than our ways. Yes, Scripture is true. It tells us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are greater than our ways. You see, Jesus wasn't concerned about all the money being thrown into the treasury, but rather Jesus was concerned about something vastly, vastly more important. Jesus was looking at the hearts of all these rich people. They were throwing in vast amounts, but they were giving, my friends, not in faith. They were giving out of their abundance. You see, dear friends, Jesus is not impressed with the externals. Jesus isn't impressed with the size of your bank account. Jesus isn't even concerned about the amount that is written on the check that you'll be placing in the offering plate this morning. Jesus isn't concerned about that. What he is concerned about is that as you lay that envelope into the offering plate, he's not looking at the envelope. He, again, is looking at your heart. Are you giving out of compulsion? Are you giving because you're being forced to give? Are you giving because you think that my last dollar here will do something great for the church, and therefore I'll work this good work according to how I think I should do it? Or are you giving as this poor widow gave, giving your last $5? For you know that in your love for God, you know that the sacrifice that he has made for you is even greater, and that the money that you give will be used for the proclamation of the Holy Gospel, for the upkeep of the church. And this, my friends, when you give out of a blessed heart, when you give from a broken and contrite heart, when you give out of a servant's heart, that's acceptable in the sight of the Lord. Jesus was judging, for he is the great judge. He's judging the hearts and he's judging the motives. And he's weighing in his balance. Yes, you can see the judge holding the balance in his hand. And he's looking. Where does the balance fall? Your work or his work? If it's your work, it's not good enough. If it's his work, that's acceptable. That's acceptable in his sight. And here on the cross, you have received from him something much more valuable than what's in your bank account or in your wallet or purse or what you're even placing into the offering plate this morning. Scripture tells us here in Mark chapter 12, and the poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. Sometimes people call this the widow's mite. Not really. Actually, the translation is just a little off. Because what this poor woman puts in to the offering box is called a lepta. 2 lepta. Actually, what she puts in is a quarter of a penny. A quarter of a penny. You can take a penny and slice it in quarters and take off one of the quarters, and that's what she places into the offering plate. Doesn't sound like much, but in those days, it was enough for her to buy an evening meal, enough for her to buy bread so that she could survive. And as Jesus tells us, she gave all that she had to live on. She gave it to the Lord. She was literally giving her last meal's worth. In faith, she knew that the Lord would care for her. In faith, she gave with a loving and broken and contrite heart. In faith, this poor widow sacrificed to the Lord. My dear friends, we have to be careful in the church when we talk about offerings and stewardship. I do not have the right to twist your arm and force you to give a certain amount, as some churches do. I don't have the right to convict you of your stinginess. I don't have the right to say that you're not giving enough. Oh, I don't need to do that because I can't see your heart. Jesus will do that. Jesus is the one who looks at your motives Jesus is the one that looks at your heart. And when you give out of compulsion, or if you're giving out of a good work, again, that's not acceptable. He wants you to give with a cheerful heart, out of joy, knowing that your sacrifice will be used for the proclamation of the gospel. Jesus requires, yes, he requires a broken and contrite heart, a broken spirit, knowing that as you give, he is giving you something vastly greater, the very forgiveness of all your sins. Verses 43 and 44 is where Jesus commends this poor widow. Before Jesus says anything, though, he has an attention getter. He says, "Amen." Some of you just woke up. Amen, that's good, because that's exactly what that word is. It means to listen up, pay attention. What I'm about to tell you is very, very important. And so it is. When Jesus speaks, we should be listening. And what Jesus tells his disciples is totally opposite of human reasoning. What Jesus tells them about this poor widow is that she indeed is a very, very rare bird indeed. This poor, poor widow had just given her last meal's worth. She was faithful. She believed in the Lord's promise that he would send the Messiah who would save his people Israel. Therefore, in gratitude, this woman, she sacrificed, my dear friends, she gave her all. She gave her all, which foreshadowed a sacrifice that was to happen in just 2 days, where Jesus gave his all, his very blood, his very body, his very life for this widow and for each and every one of you. It's possible, but highly unlikely that Jesus praised this poor widow in her presence. More than likely, she meekly dropped in her 2 lepta, and then she kind of walked away back through the crowd, back to her home. And while Jesus was calling the crowd together, this woman disappeared into the crowd. Yet one day, one great and glorious day, he will praise her to her face. And she will be totally surprised. Her Lord will totally surprise her. It will be totally unexpected. He will say to her, "Dear widow, you gave your all. Therefore, I give to you my kingdom. Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, that's how it is with believers. That's how it is with devout followers of Jesus. They do, without looking for glory, without looking for fanfare, they give and they quietly disappear into the crowd, and they come back again on Sunday and they do it all over again. Not wanting accolades, just wanting to serve their Lord and to serve their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. For that's the picture we see here, dear friends, a widow who is sacrificing, giving her all for her church and for the members of that church. Today, O Zion, today you give. And this sermon, as you have heard, isn't about making you guilty. I am not your judge. I am not the one that you'll stand before in the last day. Well, that day will come for sure. Rather, this is a lesson for us to remember and to take to heart. Jesus isn't impressed once again with what you give. Rather, he is impressed with what you give from a loving, joyful heart. A heart that trusts in him. A heart that knows that he will deliver you. That he will keep his promise. Just as he will keep the promise, he will keep his promise to this poor widow. Dear Zion, therefore we close with these words. As written in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Yet for your sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. Jesus has fulfilled his promise. God said that he would send his son. He would send his rich son, full of grace and mercy and forgiveness, and that his son would die upon a cross, so that you, his poor ones, would become rich ones, ones who would be first forever in his kingdom, ones who will one day wear that crown of victory, that crown of glory that he himself will give to you. Therefore, believe in him, trust him, serve him with a broken and contrite heart. And as you sacrifice this morning in the confession of your sins, remember that he is faithful and that he is just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you, as he has cleansed our little brother this morning, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thanks be to Jesus, and thanks be to Jesus for his sacrifice. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.